Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
Hey, Ken, did you know that gold is the only currency that's held its value since the dawn of money?
Well, I did. Thanks to our friends at Legacy Precious Metals, the most trusted name in gold investing.
Investing in gold protects you against inflation and gives you a hedge against stock market volatility.
Don't leave your retirement to chance. Call Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or download your free investor's guide now at buylegacygold.com. That's buylegacygold.com.
Well, today is the day. They're turning in signatures for the recall of L.A. County District Attorney George Gascon. The event is supposed to unfold this hour. We do have information that they're running a little late, but we, of course, are here 4 hours. And I don't think the office is closed probably until 5 o'clock or so. We got Steve Gregory posted up there. We'll talk to him either next hour or the hour after that as we see what they bring. They have to turn in all the signatures today. This is the deadline day, July 6th, to the LA County Registrar of Voters, where it'll be about a 30-day process to determine if there are enough for us to vote on a recall of George Gascon.
Now we have Alex Stone from ABC News on. Today was lots of news in the shooting in Highland Park because the perpetrator confessed. And it turns out he also was going to blow away people in Madison, Wisconsin, just over the border. So all the details from Alex. How are you?
Hey there, guys. Yeah, a lot going on. Seems like by the hour with this one that we get new details. Police here have been very open about what they know. Very different than a lot of jurisdictions that we go into where they have been just laying it out and saying, community, here's what you need to know. So Robert Cremo in court today via Zoom. He was there wearing all black, very, very slender, long dark hair, tattoos all over his face and neck. Didn't really say anything, just sat there looking at the camera and kind of off the camera at times. And prosecutors laid out their case to not allow him to post bail, saying he carried out a very calculated, very planned attack on this community. And the state's attorney said, judge, don't allow this guy, if he had the ability, which his attorney says he does not, to post bail. Keep him locked up. They say he admitted that he went to the roof of the building, that he opened fire, saying this.
He went into details about what he had done. He admitted to what he had done.
That he confessed to all of it, they say, that he unloaded 3 magazines worth of bullets, that he, quote, looked down his sights, aimed and opened fire at people across the street. That's important. This was not at random. He was aiming. He used his sight and was going after individuals. And the judge agreed, saying, Cremo, remain in jail. His attorney saying he can't get out on his own. By the way, his attorney up until today has bailed on him, saying he has a conflict of interest and now it'll be a public defender. But the attorney came on the court hearing and said, look, I can't represent this guy. There's too many conflicts of interest, and so I'm out of here. And so then he had to, they had to find a public defender, and now he's got him. But the judge saying, he's got no bond. It's going to go down that way.
The judge found that the evidence was at such a level that he could be held without bond.
So he will be held the next court hearing at the end of the month. But today we're finding out that he went, and he has now admitted, he went to Madison, Wisconsin, which is not just over the border, which just over the border is about 20 minutes away from Illinois to Wisconsin. He went about 2.5 hours north into Madison after the shooting and apparently stumbled upon another 4th of July event and came very close to attacking that as well. He had a rifle, 60 rounds of ammo in his mom's car, not the one that he left here at the scene, but another one that he had, and that was the plan. As he came in, wasn't planning on it going to Madison, but apparently went into Madison and went, oh, here's another 4th of July celebration, and this is what police said today.
We don't have information to suggest he planned on driving to Madison initially to commit another attack. We do believe that he was driving around following the first attack and saw the celebration.
And was there and thought, well, I've got the rifle, I've got the ammo, let's go. And they don't know why, but bailed out of there and decided not to do that. And they found his phone up there. He ditched that. They have now recovered that. And motive-wise, they still don't know, guys. They're looking at, obviously, online, a lot of neo-fascist postings that he's done, a lot of things that would point to mental health and issues that he's had. But he's got a fascination with the number 47. And a lot of different ways, yeah, they think that it's related to his music. 47 is also a Nazi symbol number that if you put a 4 and a 7 together, it resembles a Nazi symbol. So white supremacist groups have adopted that number. He had it on the back of his car. They don't know, but they think his obsession with it may have been related to his music that he was very into. But 47, the date was 7-4, and they think that may have been the motive for that day, but they don't know.
There is such an overwhelming amount of posts that he did and just public displays. I see there's a photo on one news site of 47 imprinted into the side of his face, a tattoo. I mean, it is astounding how much he was signaling to the world that he was insane. He was possessed by, you know, evil spirits. I'm just shocked how nobody did anything about this in advance. I just can't believe it. He's the scariest kid I've ever seen.
Yeah, very unique looking. And that's one of the reasons why they say he dressed as a woman and wore makeup, because he knew people would recognize him. This is a small town. He's not your average Joe. Between his build and his hair and his tattoos, that you would remember him, you would know him. And people knew him around here. In fact, it was police who, once they had a hit from the ATF on who it was, that were able to quickly go into surveillance video and knew who he was and said, there he is. That is him getting away right there. And then they put out that bolo, the be on the lookout for it. And we know the history that we learned about last night, that in April of last year, the call had gone to police that he tried to kill himself. They went, checked it out. Not a lot they could do. It had been a week earlier. Family said he was getting mental health help. Then in September, they went to his home. They got a call that he was threatening to kill everybody. And then police saying,
the police responded to his residence. The police removed 16 knives, a dagger, and a sword from Cremo's home. At that time, there was no probable cause to arrest. There were no complaints that were signed by any of the victims.
And so they took
I just ask you, not that you have an answer here, because we'll probably get to this in just a few minutes, because someone writing for the National Review wrote the definition of all the laws that he probably violated when he was threatening to kill everybody in the house. There clearly was probable cause to arrest him. There's assault, there's intimidation, there's domestic violence. I mean, there are actually weapons that they had to confiscate here. There is no reasonable person who looks at this and says that they didn't have probable cause to detain him and take him out of there. I'm just astounded that nobody's addressing this from the police.
Yeah, they're claiming...
How can they just dismiss it by saying no probable cause? I'm sorry, the facts I read says extremely probable cause.
Yeah, and there are police who believe that, who have come out and said that, that yeah, you had it. Police here are claiming, and prosecutors, that under Illinois law, it wasn't there. And that because the family wouldn't sign a complaint.
Well, I mean, does anybody explain what it is that wasn't there? Like, if this didn't meet assault, intimidation, domestic violence,
that they weren't there. They weren't there when the threat was made, and that it was a threat. They took away the weapons, and without the family willing to sign a complaint. A totally different type of case, but think back to the Oscars and Will Smith. Everybody's saying, well, why wasn't he arrested for assault? And it was, well, nobody wanted to sign a complaint, that victims, that the police weren't there, they didn't see it. Then everybody said, no, we're not going to
prosecuted. I thought that was absurd because it was on national television.
Yeah, but same sort of thing in the sense that they're saying, well, we weren't there. We didn't hear the threat. We took away the weapons. Nonetheless, with all
total
of that,
failure.
Because he was not arrested, because he was not forced to go into mental health, he wasn't in the system at all. Then he went and bought the five guns. The AR, that was a style that was used in this, another rifle, the one he had in Wisconsin, a pistol that he bought for his 21st birthday last year, a shotgun, and then another gun that he had. And all of them were legally purchased. And by the way, Illinois has very strong red flag laws, but those don't apply to this. Red flag is taking a gun away from somebody who already has it, getting a court order to do it, and he didn't own them yet.
If they had prosecuted him for his other incidents, he never would have had a chance to buy the gun to begin with. And I just got to say, it's like the cops rarely observe a crime. Most crimes, the cops show up after it happened. So this idea that the police have to see something to make arrests, I find this to be ludicrous. Of course most crimes are not in front of cops.
Well, there are also claims here in town of, look, dad was prominent, ran for mayor, is a business owner, small town, that maybe dad said, look, I'll take care of it, don't worry about it.
Well, that makes more sense, yeah.
And there are a lot of people who think it may have gone down that road, that we've heard one former police executive, not from around here, say in this size of a town, the chief would have known the dad and who knows? But bottom line, police are saying that probable cause wasn't there. Family did not want to prosecute. They didn't want to sign a complaint, and it ended there.
All right, Eric. I mean, all right. Alex, thank you very much.
You can call me Eric. It's all right.
Alex Stone, ABC News for KFI on the latest in the Illinois mass shooting. When we come back, well, first of all, you get a word, not just any word. You get the keyword for a chance to win $1,000. But we'll talk about the parents. Robert Cremo II, the father. You won't believe what's in the story because, as we were just talking about, after these threats to kill his family when they took the daggers and the swords out of the home, the father sponsored his son to buy weapons. And where do you read one quote from his attorney? That and more coming up.
John and Ken, KFI. We've been handed a news release. The recall George Gascon campaign says they have 717,000 signatures.
Ooh, let me think about that. They needed about 570,000?
Almost.
Roughly?
Yeah, so they've got more than a 20% cushion.
Yeah, I mean, the rejection rate has been running between 15 and 20%. I talked to the recall Chesa Boudin organizers, and they had about a 17 or 18% rejection rate with their signatures, and they had to get that past the registrar in San Francisco, so that probably wasn't easy, but that doesn't sound bad. That actually sounds pretty good. We've got coverage there. We'll be talking to Steve Gregory later on about the big day where they're turning all these signatures into the LA County Registrar of Voters. We'll talk about something else that needs to be done. I really think so, because a lot of these shooters are young men. Let's go after the parents. But first, this.
Now, your chance to win $1,000. Just enter this nationwide keyword on our website. Cash. That's cash, C-A-S-H. Enter it now at KFIAM640.com/cash. Powered by Sweet James Accident Attorneys. If you're hurt in an accident, winning is everything. Call the winning attorneys at Sweet James. 800-500-5200. That's 800-500-5200 or sweetjames.com.
Winners will be notified by email. Another reason to spend your day staring at a screen. Also, check your junk.
What?
Oh, check your junk.
No.
How does email end up there? Oh, yeah, junk or spam folder to see if you won. Listen to KFIM 640 for the winning keyword every weekday between the 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. hour. Next chance to win is next hour at 3:20.
I don't know who coined that one, but it has always bothered me.
Me too.
That is a word for male genitalia. You're junk.
Just been reading this for 2 days, and suddenly that phrase jumped out at me.
That must have been a real slob in a trailer who said one day, "Hey, look at my junk." And someone said, "I like that. Yeah. Let's spread it."
Yeah, how did that get popularized? Yeah.
Well, there were so many euphemisms for male genitalia, but
that's a bad one. All right.
And I always assume that includes not just, it's the whole package there. It's the junk. All right. You know, they charged the parents of the Michigan shooter. Remember the Michigan school shooter? That case kind of disappeared quickly, didn't it?
Oh, my God.
I guess he was only 14 or 15.
Yes.
This guy in Illinois is 21. However, as we look at this, and apparently reporters were pressing officials in Illinois today, it's the Lake County State's Attorney, Eric Reinhart. Well, what are you going to do at the parents? Any possible criminal charges against Bobby Cremo III's family? His father, of course, is Bobby Cremo II, in case you didn't figure that out. He said, we're still looking at this. I don't want to answer that question right now. But here's what you need to know, and a good reason why I think this guy should be charged. He sponsored his son when he applied for a firearms owner's ID card. It's called an FOID, a FOID. And this was just after he threatened to kill the family in September of 2019.
Yeah, you know something? I have to really have to stop and think about what's going on here. He was so terrifying the family that they called the police. The police came and took away all his knives. And then he asks dad, "Hey, will you sponsor me to buy a gun?" And dad says yes. Now, I can't imagine. There's more than
what person in their right mind would sponsor their child for guns after they were going to stab everybody in the house?
All right, I mean the guy
just months after. Was there some incredible mental health program he went through, and you were convinced that this boy is okay now? When gun buyers under the age of 21 are looking to purchase guns in Illinois, the parent or legal guardian must sponsor the application and sign an affidavit. Wait, there's really a big part coming here. Stating that they're allowing the purchase and they agree to be held liable for any damages resulting from the minor applicant's use of firearms. Now, let me get to the part that's really freaking unbelievable. The dad's lawyer, Steven Greenberg, is insisting that his client, the father, well, the son, wasn't aware of his son's threats in 2019 or the knife collection when he sponsored the firearm application. Does that pass any kind of truth test?
No, that's totally... That's
you should be locked up just for saying that. The lawyer, too.
That's totally a lie.
They said the father was quite aware of what happened.
Well, here's that story. The family member calls the police saying that... That this kid had threatened to kill everyone.
Maybe it's the mother, because they weren't living together, the parents.
But still, all right.
We know this Cremo was living with his father now in a back house, but who knows where he was in 2019.
But how could dad not know?
Illinois State Police said the father eventually claimed the knives were his. Right. And they were being stored in the individual's closet for safekeeping.
So he did know. I mean, he's just lying. He and his attorney are just lying their asses off. No, nobody can believe this. They removed 16 knives and a dagger and a sword. And the deputy chief, Christopher Covelli, of Lake County Sheriff's Office, said there was no probable cause to arrest him. But if somebody is threatening to kill everyone and the police decide to take out 18 different weapons... How is that not probable cause? You took away all the weapons, so you thought it was a dangerous threat.
Here's the possibility that, yes, they took away the weapons because they figured that was the safest thing to do. But I wouldn't be surprised if after whoever called this in and they got there and everybody calmed down, everyone decided they didn't want to press any charges against the son or the brother or whatever the relationship was.
But I'm saying, yes, I understand that. But maybe the police should do it anyway. Maybe that should be the standard, because clearly something went on. One of the family members did call and did make the accusation, and the police did remove all the weapons. So that's all on the record is happening. Maybe the next thing to do is take him in and detain him. Under Illinois law, intimidation, which is another charge that they could have leveled, is intent to cause another to perform or omit the performance of any act he or she communicates to another, a threat to perform the act, including inflict physical harm on the person threatened.
You know what, if you're threatening to kill everybody, I'll be like you now. I don't think if they took him in, they would have changed the course of this. This is a crazy, evil kid.
Well, I think if we start charging the parents,
if we start going after the parents, they're going to start looking closer at what their kids are up to.
You think these two would?
Well, you know what? This father thought he was going to be mayor. He felt like he was some sort of big stinking town. Yeah, maybe it would have mattered to him.
I wonder if what Alex said...
Maybe not the crazy mother from what we read.
Maybe that's the protection that they got, was dad was a big deal in town. He owned the deli, and he's running for mayor. He was probably active in a bunch of other ways in town. It's like, oh, yeah, Bob's
Oh, yeah, they probably
really
let this slide because
they,
of
they
that,
let
yeah.
this slide. This is what guys like Robert Cremo, the dad, this is what you get in life. You got a crazy child. And the police look the other way. It's like, all right, that's Bob's kid.
Yeah, we can handle this, right? He's a respectable person. I'm sure he can deal with his son, right?
Yeah.
That's probably what they did.
Domestic violence was a possible charge. That's physical abuse, harassment, intimidation. Well, okay, again, he's threatening to kill everyone. He's threatening to kill everyone. Yes, that is intimidation. That is domestic violence. That is assault. All that, those are real crimes. This is
not if you don't have anybody that'll witness it or claim or press it.
But they did witness
somebody
it.
May have called. Yeah,
they
somebody called.
Called
in. I know, but that's it. That's the end of it.
Well, maybe
you need more than that.
No, arrest him anyway. No, seriously,
well,
arrest
he'll
him.
He'll be bounced in a day.
But you got to disrupt the system.
As soon as the judge finds out nobody willing to step up and make the case against
this guy,
you got to
get stuff on the record, though. You got to get something on the record for the red flag laws. You got to start building a case. I mean, if the suicide threat was on the record, if the assault against his family was on the record.
Oh, yeah, you're right, because that reached a dead end.
Right. So, I mean, because when he did four background checks, they all came out clear. Okay, we've been lectured to death about background checks and red flag laws. And then look at this. Well, what's the point here? What's the point of these background checks if it doesn't pick up two serious incidents?
It reminds me of George Gascon, because it's almost like in some of these cases, well, they're young. Let's give them a break. They got their whole life ahead of them. Why should we want to mess them up with a charge on
their
record?
Because they're dangerous.
They might not get into college. This could screw up their whole life.
Good.
All right.
This guy needed his life screwed up.
We got more. We did find out this half hour that the recall campaign against George Gascon did submit 717,000 signatures to the LA County Registrar. The number of valid signatures they need is about 567,000. So it sounds good. And we'll talk about this more in the 3 o'clock hour.
Johnny Ken, KFI.
Oh, a quick reminder that already day after tomorrow, we're back with our Moistline friends in the 5 o'clock hour Friday. You can leave your message still. You can use the iHeartRadio app, a little microphone there. You can talk back to the show. Or, of course, call the old number, 1-877-MOIST-86, 1-877-664-7886. Big news for us on the show is 717,000 signatures is what the Recall George Gascon people say that they have turned in to the LA County Registrar of Voters. They're actually doing it this hour in a big media event. We'll update you on this. And again, they need about 568,000. So that looks like a pretty good margin, but you just don't know.
You don't know. The corrupt county registrar's office, anything can happen. But this is a good sign. And, George, why don't you just resign? You really want this to go to the ballot? Why don't you resign? Save us all
some
money.
Whatever polls have been taken show he will lose in a landslide if he can get it on the ballot.
Quit. You'll still get your pension. Just quit. Go. See ya. Bye. Nobody wants you. Nobody likes you. Take your Kermit the Frog voice with you.
All right. Well, probably a couple of months ago, we'll be talking to Steve Gregory after 3 o'clock, but a couple of months ago, he came to us with that story of security, a security video from the Los Angeles Metro system. Do you remember that?
Yo, yes.
Where there
people
were all sorts of fights, attacks,
stabbings, shooting, rapes.
People, sexual assaults. So we had a big announcement late last week from Los Angeles County Metro that they don't want law enforcement on the trains and buses. And they are introducing a $122 million pilot program to place 300 ambassadors on the trains and buses. And as you scroll down this story in the El Segundo Times, it doesn't take long before you get to the evil troika Los Angeles County Supervisor Hilda Solis, who, of course, is the head of the Metro Board, is a big part of this. Then there's Mike Bonin, who actually pushed for this. He is a Metro Board member. And third, but least of all, Kevin DeLeon, who is now the campaign manager for something called the Alliance for Community Transit Los Angeles. They're working with other groups to push Metro to limit or end its contract with law enforcement. Mm. And we know what that is. That, of course, is the LA County Sheriff's Department,
well, you know,
mostly.
What? This is great. I mean, I will never, I've never taken a train or a bus in 25 years. I will never take one of these. Ever. I don't think any normal person would. They want to put ambassadors who are unarmed on the trains and buses? No. Just look at the video. It's still online.
Oh, and I misspoke.
People are getting shot, stabbed, and raped.
It's not Kevin DeLeon. It's a woman by the name of Scarlett DeLeon.
That's his cousin.
A 32-year-old woman who apparently has not felt safe on the trains and buses, and she got involved and pushed for this program. There was one board member who said, if somebody's lighting somebody on fire with a can of accelerant, a trained ambassador is not going to stop that from happening. Whoa. In fact, they did a survey of riders, and overwhelmingly, they actually want more police involvement on the trains.
Well, of course they do.
You saw the video. That's happening on trains. Well, ambassadors standing there with the walkie-talkie, right, so they can contact police or mental health workers, is not going to help.
We don't have anybody.
And by the way, if one of these ambassadors gets attacked or stabbed, they're all going to quit.
And they will. They are going to get attacked and stabbed. Somebody's going to come up and set one of them on fire, unfortunately. Who are they going to get to be an ambassador? You were going to take on all the drug addicts, the homeless people, and the criminals without a weapon?
I don't think they are. I think that they're just going to stand there, and if something happens, they're going to run and call somebody. That's what I would expect.
They're going to call.
They're not going to be armed, so they shouldn't get involved.
They're not going to be armed. So what, they're going to watch somebody get stabbed or shot to death?
Yeah, they're sort of lookouts.
So
yeah.
This is like, what, a paid witness? I'm not here to help. I'm here to watch you die.
They think it'll deter people from using drugs taking a dump.
Somebody actually said that. I read that. No, it's not. They're going to continue taking the... They're already taking a dump in front of witnesses. They already do this. They take drugs. My son was on a BART train. He saw an 80-year-old grandma selling cocaine from her lap. She had it spread out on her lap, and she was selling cocaine to people at each stop. They do all this in front of everybody.
Well, you know, you read the beginning of this story, and of course, Bonin's name pops up early. And you know what they're concerned about? Fare evasion. It turns out that most of the people cited for fare evasion have been people of color. That just sends a terrifying message to
poor
people.
Because mostly people of color take the buses and trains. That's why. It serves those neighborhoods, and mostly poor people take those trains. All right, people in Pacific Palisades are not taking trains and buses, so the race thing is total nonsense.
Right, it's just a defund the police movement's trying to come down on this.
I'm sick of hearing that. They use that for everything. Not applicable. Sorry, you made that up. That's nonsense.
They surveyed 2,000 current and former riders. They call them lapsed riders. Lapsed riders. Only 18% of females felt very safe riding the Metro. Only 11% of all riders felt safe riding the system at night.
Right. So
violent crimes are up 72% for the first 4 months of this year compared to last year.
And you know,
72%.
Because most of the city doesn't take a bus or a train, there's not going to be any outcry against this. You know who's going to get it? It's going to be all the poor people. It's only mostly poor minorities. They're the ones who are going to get shot and robbed and stabbed and raped and set on fire. But they don't have a voice in the city. Most everyone else, we'd rather sit stuck in traffic for 2.5 hours. I wouldn't spend 1 minute on a Metro train. Not one. This is crazy. And the thing is, you don't think Hilda Solis and Mike Bonin know this? This is part of some weird anarchy belief. It's got to be. There's one guy... The Metro board chair, I guess doesn't have any power. He's the Glendale City Councilman, Aaron Ajarian. And he's the one who said, An ambassador isn't going to stop someone from taking an aerosol can, lighting a match to it, and using it as a blowtorch, which happened on May 11th.
Right.
And where's that video? There's not a decent person inside government that can release that video. The public ought to see that. Not that Steve Gregory's video changed any minds, huh? Because the people don't care about the trains and buses. It's just a money suck. It sucks billions of dollars out of our taxes. Nobody uses it, and nobody cares.
And here goes another $122
million. $122
million. For more virtue signaling.
They're going to recruit people from local nonprofits.
Yes, now we're employing people.
Listen
too.
To these wacky.
This again is the part of the big industrial circus that we always talk about.
Listen to these communities actively living independent and free. That's the name of the group. Communities actively living independent and free. What is it? CALIF. I guess that's supposed to stand for California. CALIF, the abbreviation. Homeboy but Industries.
What you're seeing here is what these people want for the future. They do not want ordinary law enforcement that we see out there. They want a bunch of ambassadors and social workers walking around with yellow jackets
in the
trying to calm people down. Yeah. Oh, they do. Yeah, they do. That's the future. And then there's no jail. It's just like a mental health home for people
right.
to get arrested.
Okay. Well,
so you got all the gang members there trading drugs and shooting and stabbing each other. But we're going to send an ambassador in there and then we're going to send them to mental health and everything will be fine.
And there's no amount of horrible stories that changes anything.
It's like they don't understand the real brutality, the real reality out there. It's like they're just dealing with people who've had a bad day, and all we need to do is talk to them and calm them down.
Why do they want all these poor people to be attacked? What's it in for Hilda Solis and Mike Bonin to watch a 70-year-old man get set on fire?
All right, coming up after 3 o'clock, we will check in with Steve Gregory, who has gone to Norwalk. That's where the L.A. County Registrar of Voters is. And they showed up with a recall campaign to get George Gascon out of office as the L.A. County D.A. showed up. And they say they have 717,000 signatures to get this on the ballot. More coming up.
John and Kent, KFI.
All right, a lot to come. And again, in about 30 minutes, you'll have another keyword, which you just enter at the website, KFIAM640.com. You could win $1,000. Steve Gregory's posted up at the L.A. County Registrar's offices in Norwalk. In L.A. County, because today was the day, July 6th, this is the deadline to turn in all the signatures to put the recall on the ballot of the L.A. County D.A., George Gascon, and they did just put out a press release that they are turning in 717,000 signatures. To get this on the ballot, they need about 567,000. It looks like a pretty good margin, but we were confident with the Bonin recall, weren't we? As I recall, they had a pretty good margin, too. So,
yeah, and then it was the city clerk's office that did some shenanigans there. Nah. But it was enough to get Bonin to resign. So that turned out to be a success. I don't think he resigns except for the stress
except
of the
it
recall.
Looks like the fools in your council district are going to elect his clone.
Yes. So. Well, that's the early read from the primary. But something?
There is a runoff, and there is some hope. A woman named Tracy Park hopefully will win that election.
There's a campaign yet to come, and life gets worse in L.A. every day. there'll be more. There'll be another guy set on fire on a metro train.
Yeah,
and there's always hope.
I'm waiting for the rise up, but the El Segundo Times was beating its chest last week as the late ballots came in. And the whole city government's going more and more to the progressive socialist Democrat left. That's the way it's looking. So I hopefully Caruso can still pull it out. And maybe somebody like Tracy Park wins an election. And there's some evidence of a turnaround. But holy God, I think a lot of people are just leaving.
Yeah, they are. But there's a lot of people leaving. We got a lot of people listening online and on our podcast that are, I've been told, are living in all these other states.
Yeah.
So I don't understand. The people who are left in these neighborhoods are the ones who are going to suffer from these policies. And it's amazing nobody talks about this out loud and there isn't any media coverage, but you have poor minority people who are suffering all the assaults and the murders and have to deal with the homeless encampments and the garbage. It's a terrible situation in these neighborhoods. And now the people that are being elected are going to intensify all the degradation that's going on in these neighborhoods.
Like so many other things, California is this awful laboratory. I mean, we're having an experiment now where we have these people in charge of our government, especially in the criminal justice system, who believe, let's end jail, let's end prison, let's even end long prison terms. Let's not arrest people. But what I want to say is we've been watching this for 11 years. I still go back to 2011 when they passed the prisoner dumping bill with Jerry Brown, AB 109, under the guise of, oh, the prisons are too crowded. We have to figure out a way to get these people out of the prisons. And then with COVID, it reached another level. And now with a guy like George Gascon and the California Attorney General, it's even pushed up another level. This is what's going to happen to us.
They're having rebellion, though, in San Francisco. They recalled three of the school board members, and they also removed Chesa Boudin.
I know.
There's going to be a day of reckoning here. Because I'm telling you, the Democratic Socialists of America who have a chance to win various council seats, they don't represent most of the public in their own district. You have these very low turnout elections. And the Democratic Socialists of America, like Gascon, are well-funded by these rich extremists. And there's a whole network. It's not visible to us. It happens online. But they turn out their followers really well. And most regular people, especially in the poor neighborhoods, are detached from politics. They're not reading the news. And besides, the news isn't covering this anymore. Honestly, where would you go to learn about this stuff? But it's happening. It's not being identified by mainstream news organizations, but this underground, very well-funded movement is having success right in front of our eyes. When something happens in your line of sight and it doesn't make sense, there is a reason. You just haven't figured it out yet. But the polling indicates that most of the people in these neighborhoods absolutely want more police, and they're terrified about the crime wave. And then you have these Democratic Socialists who claim they want to abolish the police and abolish the prison. That doesn't add up. There is no majority to abolish. There's not even a tiny minority to abolish prisons and police. So what's going on here? They're taking advantage of low turnout in elections and the complete media blackout on
these
issues.
By the way, the ones that are probably going to win city council seats, we're running more on the whole housing crisis. The woman that's replacing Gil Cedillo basically wants free housing for everybody. So I guess that struck a chord with people in that district.
But that's not rational. So they have these crazy issues that distract you. Oh yeah, housing. Oh yeah, we should get free housing. Well, that's impossible, but nice try. What they really want to do is abolish the police and abolish prisons. The housing is just a front message to distract you.
There are some days where I think that this crowd just believes, we've got a lot of Jeff Bezos out there and Elon Musk's. We have so many wealthy Americans. We can invite the whole world in. Let's open up the borders and give everybody free rent, free food, everything free because we can't afford it. When we all know that's not the truth.
Well,
it's not rational.
They also hate America. They hate capitalism. They hate everything the country stands for. They would like to undermine it. They would like to destroy what this is.
Why don't they go to Russia, live there for a while?
They don't, do they?
Go to China.
They have much more fun, and they make more money by trying to ruin what we have here. They go to Russia and try to pull this stuff. They'd end up in a gulag. But here, they get embraced and indulged by, the media, by politicians, and others that are part of the elite. It's a racket. It's a well-paid racket. I'm telling you, if you knew what these people were making in these organizations, if you knew how well-funded they were, there's a lot of money out there. All the tech stocks that exploded, people cashed out. All the crypto money out there. There's an insane amount of money sloshing around. That's why we've got so much inflation. That's why housing prices have exploded. There is a lot of fake money in the system. And now there's all kinds of weird people that are financing these strange movements.
All right, we'll be talking to Steve after 3 o'clock about the recall. In one of today's more bizarre stories, there is a $5 billion stadium called SoFi in Inglewood. You've probably heard about it. The Rams and the Chargers play their home games there. Today, firefighters were sent to the stadium just after 6 o'clock in the morning. Security cameras showed that someone jumped into the lake. It's a man-made, like, fake lake. It's very nice, though. But did not pop up. So they went there. They used sonar to scan the lake. And indeed, they dredged up a body. Supposedly, someone also saw somebody jump in. They are going to say at a news conference after 4 o'clock about more details about what this is or who this is. The lakes there around the stadium have about a 15-foot depth. I remember I was in Las Vegas. You know, you ever see Bellagio's got the big fountains out front?
Mm-hmm.
About a week after I was there, I was looking at the news, and yeah, some homeless guy jumped in there, started swimming around, and he drowned.
What's the purpose?
I guess he just wanted to cool off, so he thought it was cool to go into the...
Well, maybe the chief heating officer had suggested that.
That's a good possibility.
What,
I'm not saying this is a homeless person at SoFi today, but...
What is the purpose of the lake?
This is strange behavior. Oh, it makes it very scenic. There's birds that fly around. Have you ever walked the grounds yet outside SoFi? It's very nice. It's like a park.
No, I haven't. It's just
a good place to take a picture, too.
It is. I've taken many pictures there.
And this is outside the parking lot?
It's also a good place to get into a fight with 49er fans, because that almost happened.
With you?
No, but I... No, I remember I was there for the NFC Championship game.
Right.
People were actually pretty friendly about it, just trying to diss the other team.
All I remember is parking in the parking lot and then walking in.
Yeah, there are two decorative lakes that serve as irrigation reservoirs for the surrounding park. And it's all from, recycled water connections. See, that's key. People know it's a recycled water project.
Yeah.
In this time of drought, they're not using any valuable water for this these little lakes. But they're very nice. It's very scenic. I hope it lasts, because like everything else in L.A., eventually it just gets...
Everything gets fouled.
Everything gets fouled. Right? Somebody takes a dump. All right, coming up next, Steve Gregory. You heard him? That's right, from KFI News. He's in Norwalk, covering the turning in of the signatures to the L.A. County Register of Voters for the recall of George Gascon as DA.
John and Ken Show. Deborah Mark has the news. KFI AM 640. Hey, Ken, did you know that gold is the only currency that's held its value since the dawn of money?
Well, I did. Thanks to our friends at Legacy Precious Metals, the most trusted name in gold investing.
Investing in gold protects you against inflation and gives you a hedge against stock market volatility.
Don't leave your retirement to chance. Call Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or download your free investor's guide now at buylegacygold.com. That's buylegacygold.com.
This week at Safeway, enjoy big savings with the BOGO sale, where select items throughout the store are buy one, get one free. With this week's BOGO sale, get select meats like Signature Farms 90% lean ground beef or boneless, skinless chicken breasts or thighs, buy one, get one free. Plus, select fresh produce items like 1 pound containers of sweet strawberries or containers of blueberries or buy one, get one free. Safeway, come in and explore and see what other deals you can find.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency, where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch, so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity, designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. Gainbridge is helping build a better financial future for women. Retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.